Getting Antsy on Wall Street.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The U.S. stock markets are closed today to observe the National Day of Mourning for President Ford. With the New Year's holiday, this makes 4 days in a row without trading. As Dan Gretsch reports, that silence can be deafening.
The last time the New York Stock Exchange and NASDAQ were closed this long was more than 5 years ago. After the September 11th terrorist attacks, the markets were idle for 6 days. Hugh Johnson's with asset management company Johnson Illington Advisors. He says many traders are not enjoying the current four-day break.
It makes money managers very nervous because something could happen that will affect the stocks in their portfolio and they couldn't do anything about it.
He says this lack of liquidity also could impact stock prices.
When you close exchanges, in theory, it reduces the confidence of investors in securities, and as a result of that, it does impact prices.
Of course, for the diehard investor, there are always after-hours markets. These electronic exchanges never close, but don't offer the same pool of buyers and sellers. In New York, I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
So AT&T's buyout of Bell South is a done deal. That means AT&T now has full control of Singular Wireless. The Wall Street Journal says the company's planning to offer some new things: a discounted package for people who buy cell phone and internet service, and Singular's been testing phones that can connect to your Wi-Fi network at home. Since we're talking about AT&T and baby bells, Stacey Vanek-Smith takes us back in time with this History of Business segment.
For most of the 20th century, when you wanted to reach out and dial someone up, you probably used AT&T. The American Telephone and Telegraph Company held the patent for the phone until 1894. Even after that expired, Ma Bell was pretty much the only game in town. Then the federal government declared AT&T a monopoly. And this week, back in 1984, the company's local service operations were spun off into 7 independent entities known as the Baby Bells. And it didn't have an easy time keeping up with the kids. Just a couple of years ago, AT&T was laying off thousands of workers and was billions of dollars in debt. But things came full circle. Ma Bell was snapped up by SBC, one of the original Baby Bells. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith.
GM and Ford want Americans to buy cars, not just trucks and SUVs. At this month's Detroit Auto Show, the Big Three plan to unveil new looks for some old models. Chief among them, the Chevy Malibu. The new Malibu will look kind of like a Volkswagen Passat on the outside. On the inside, it'll borrow ideas from the late 50s Corvettes. To sell the car, GM plans to get emotional. The commercials will feature songs about Chevrolets. After all, GM's marketing guy says people don't write songs about Toyotas.
Bye, bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, "This'll be the day that I die."
This is Marketplace. We love to hate fat. But a report in today's Journal of the National Cancer Institute finds a good use for fat. Helen Palmer reports from the health desk at WGBH.
Duke University oncologist Mark Dewhurst says he's developed minuscule balloons made of fat, stuffed full of cancer drugs. They're injected into the bloodstream. When they're heated, the fat balloons melt. So if a tumor's warmed with microwaves, the balloons become tiny drug delivery trucks.
Once they get into the area that's being heated, they dump their contents out very rapidly. Within 20 seconds, they dump everything out.
This targeted therapy delivers 30 times as much of the drug to the warm tumor and virtually none to cooler, healthy tissue. In rats, tumors shrank dramatically, and treated rodents survived longer than their peers. Now the fat balloons are in human trials for colon cancer that spread to the liver and an advanced breast cancer. In Boston, I'm Helen Palmer for Marketplace.
From American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters, the world's daily news and information source. Before it's news, it's Reuters. And by Medtronic, supporting the Children's Heart Foundation's It's My Heart, a book for families affected by heart defects. Copies at childrensheartfoundation.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. I'd say few things are worse than having a bad boss. A new study from Florida State University says it's bad for morale, bad for production, bad for keeping employees. The workers surveyed said 40% of bosses failed to keep their promises. 37% said their boss didn't give credit where credit was due. 31% said their supervisor gave them the silent treatment in the past year. 2006 might turn out to be a very good year for wine. It was warm, and grapes tend to like that. But in France, some people aren't celebrating. They're worried it's going to get so hot, a la global warming, that winemakers will have to start planting further north. In this report for our sustainability desk, John Lawrenson visits one of the wine regions, Burgundy.
Grape pickers snip bunches of fat black grapes from the vines and toss them into buckets. These grapes have ripened 2 weeks earlier than they used to and contain much more sugar and therefore much more potential alcohol.
We are going to taste a Bonne Vin Franche 2003, which was so nice, so warm.
A very hot year.
Very hot year. Bonne Vin Franche.
In Burgundy, so far at least, that's cause for celebration.
Raspberries and strawberries, blackcurrant, but you have no hash tannins. It's perfect.
Denis Fetzman, winemaker at the Louis Latour estate, says he no longer has to add sugar to get his wine up to strength.
Warming give better ripeness for the French wines now. And if we have a better ripeness, better quality in the grapes, we'll have better wines. So why to be with the tears when the conditions are good like that?
Unfortunately, in the long term, there are good reasons to be pessimistic. The French government has set up an observatory to monitor the effects of climate change on the wine industry. Bernard Seguin is one of its experts.
If we consider, for instance, the Champagne or Alsace and so on, they will have the mean temperature of the south of France now, because 1 degree corresponds more or less to 200 kilometers towards the north. So you may imagine that the quality of the wine will be seriously affected.
And the whole system of classing wines by region will be upset. Mr. Seguin says big champagne companies are already investing in the south of England. These investments, he says, will give them the option 30, 40, 50 years down the line of growing grapes there. But Burgundy winemaker Denis Fetzman doesn't believe that'll mean less wine in France. Growers can let the vines grow taller and leave more foliage to provide shade. They can plant higher up slopes where it's cooler and harvest earlier. And if there's too much alcohol, says the Frenchman with a touch of malice, they could copy the Californians and add water. In Burgundy, I'm John Lawrenson for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in and Happy New Year.
American Public Media.
Those snobby